Amen. Well, I'm going to do something different this morning. I know a lot of times us preachers, we like to start with a joke or a story, but I'm just going to jump right in and read a passage of Scripture to you today from 2 Peter chapter 3. And if you brought a Bible, you might just turn there, because when we're looking at a passage like this, it might be easier to follow along in your own Bible than on the screen. But I'm just telling you that sometimes we just need to hear the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, this is one of those passages that when I read it, I don't know how anybody can think that the Bible is boring. I mean, maybe they just read the baguettes all the time. I don't know. But this is such a powerful passage telling us about things to come, but also where we need to be right now. So we're going to read in 2 Peter 3, 9 through 18. 10 verses. Just 10. Ready? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught, unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to just quickly paraphrase this passage. It's so powerful, it's hard for me not to comment through the passage, but I just want to paraphrase it quickly. But it is in the great long suffering of God that he is giving everyone an opportunity to come to repentance before that great day of God, when everything in this world, everything that we see, and the heavens themselves will burn with fervent heat. It'll all be gone, and there will come a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. There won't be any sin there. Make no mistake about it. There won't be any sin there at all. No, righteousness dwells there in that new heaven and new earth. And he goes through all of this telling us about the new heaven and the new earth, but then he talks about how that there are some who twist the word of God. And we need to beware. He says to beware. We need to realize that in our day, in our time, there's so much deception. There's so much influence of the world in the body of Christ. We need to be careful. Beware, he says. So that we ourselves are not led away into error, but instead, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every believer is supposed to be growing. We're going to start a series today just titled Always Growing. And I want to tell you, you as a child of God, as a believer, you are supposed to always be growing, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is by grace we are saved. When we're born again, we are infants in Christ. And if you are a newborn in Christ, that's wonderful. We thank God for you. But everybody needs to know this, that we're not supposed to stay infants. We're supposed to grow up in Christ. Listen, when an infant doesn't grow, it is weak and sickly. And so it is with spiritual infants. They become weak and sickly. We got to grow up and be who God has called us to be. What does it look like to grow in grace? Well, there's no better example than the Apostle Paul. We first see him in the scripture as a man named Saul who persecuted the church of God. This angry, carnal, self-righteous man persecuted the church. But when he was saved by grace, God changed his heart and his life. But he didn't stop there. He changed his name to Paul, and he became the Apostle to the Gentiles. That's growing in grace, to go from where he once was to being the great apostle who wrote so many of the epistles of the New Testament. That's growing in grace. Not everybody's called to be an apostle, but every one of us is called to be something. Every one of us, God has a plan and a purpose for our life. Every one of us, God wants us to grow up into something. That's growing in grace. He says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Listen, he's not talking about going to seminary. He's not talking about that you need to, you know, really dig into your theology and you need to learn a bunch of big words. He's talking about an experiential knowledge. He's talking about knowing Jesus. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. Not a knowledge about him, a knowledge of him, that you know him, to grow in your relationship with Jesus. That's what this is really all about. Right. It's about a relationship with God, and we should always be growing in our walk with him in Christ's likeness, in Christian character, growing in our faith, growing in maturity, growing in our fruitfulness and effectiveness for God. You know, when you read in John chapter 15, where Jesus says that we're supposed to bear fruit, he says that those who bear fruit will be pruned so that they will bear more fruit. And so if we're being fruitful, guess what? God wants us to be more fruitful. Growing. Always growing. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, physically, we grow up for 18 or 20 years, most of us, and then we grow out, right? But spiritually, we're supposed to always be growing. There's not an age limit. There's not a time where we're just done. When you're done, you go home. No, we're always growing, always learning. The Christian life, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. You're either moving forward or you're falling off. Now, I've seen some trick bike riders that can hold perfectly still on their bike and they can even go backwards, but I got to tell you, our spiritual life is no trick. There's no trick to it. You're either moving forward with God or you're heading the wrong direction. And we have to keep pressing on, keep growing, keep on with our spiritual growth, our growth of character. I'll tell you, God cares more about these things than he does our comfort or success. Oh, y'all got kind of quiet. I heard a couple of people say, yeah, that's right. But I got to tell you, that's not the message that's being preached most of the time today. It's all about you. It's all about your success. It's all about life being great for you. I want to tell you something. God is more concerned about the growth of your character and your spiritual life than your success and your comfort. I think that's one of the reasons that so many Christians get disillusioned and upset with the Lord. I didn't say that God doesn't care about your success. I believe in biblical success. Let me tell you what biblical success is. Accomplishing what God wants to do in your life. That's the greatest success you'll ever have, because you get to heaven. If you did that, you're a success. You get to heaven. I don't care what you accomplished in this world. You're a failure in heaven if you don't accomplish what God had for you. But when it comes to the things of this world, I'm just telling you that God is much more concerned about us growing in our Christ-likeness, in our character, our service for Him, and our relationship with Him. Those things are so much more important. Being a Christian isn't just about changing your eternal destination. It's about changing who and what you are. It's about growing up spiritually. Some people seem to have the attitude, you know, that, well, you know, we get saved and we're just hanging out until He comes. Listen, we get to go to heaven because we have a relationship with Him. Going to heaven's a side benefit. It's not the thing. We go to heaven because we've been reconciled to God. We have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we ought to always be growing in that relationship. I want you to understand, I'm not challenging anybody's salvation. But what I'm saying is that there's more, that God wants us to be always be growing in our relationship with Him, our walk with Him. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. And you'll notice some similarities between this and the passage we read from 2 Peter 3. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Just like the passage from 2 Peter, this passage warns us about being children who are moved by every teaching that comes along. And I'm going to tell you this morning that just because it sounds good, just because it makes you feel good, just because other people believe it, doesn't make it true. We need to hold to the truth of the Word of God, because the time that we live in, there's so much reasoning of man being brought into the church. I have watched it for the last 40 years where again and again and again, culture has influenced not just the methods of the church, but the teachings of the church. We've got to hold to the truth of Scripture. As I told you a few weeks ago, the only way that you can really know the truth is that you know the Word of God. And the Scripture warns us again and again to beware of teaching that doesn't come from the Scripture. A lot of people are just tossed, he says, to and fro, this way and that way, believing every wind of doctrine and every new thing that comes along. And it's amazing to me how there's so many preachers today who want to claim that they've got the right. I'm the guy, I've got the new teaching. Nobody else knows. Nobody else has got what I got. I want to tell you something. The Word of God does not change. Right. And what we need is to hold to the Word of God. He says, the truth. Speak the truth. Do it in love, but speak the truth. See, we don't grow up if we don't speak the truth, because it's the truth of God's Word that shows us who and what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live. That's what the Word of God shows us. So many have stopped growing somewhere along the way. They stalled out. Many get distracted along the way. They take a detour from their spiritual growth. Now, this can happen at any age or time of life, I suppose. But I see it happen a lot with our young people. When they graduate high school, the majority of Christian teenagers, when they graduate high school, take a break from the things of God. And I just want to encourage our young people, make up your mind, that's not me. Make up your mind, that's not going to be you, that there's no way that you're going to walk back on your commitments to God and serving the Lord with a whole heart. Because what I see as a pastor over and over again is that it's at some point, their lives are messed up, or they get to the place where, you know, they're married and they got kids and they're like, what are we going to do? They realize they need to get their kids in church, and then they try to get back and go on with God. And I thank God for that. But I'm just telling you, so many people take a break from their walk with Jesus and really serving God. No, we got to press on every day, growing in the Lord, always. Some get deterred or distracted because of disappointment, disillusionment. They get hurt and they become cynical, they become bitter, and it stops their spiritual growth. Some just get caught up with life, just too busy with their job, too busy doing their own thing, and they stall out spiritually, they start rolling backwards. Sometimes it's just a sin or bad choices that they make that take them away from the Lord. But so many people, for whatever reason, stop growing. One of the deceptive teachings, philosophies of our day is that you don't need to be a part of a church. And it has caused so many people to not grow the way they could have. Because this is the way he designed it. That the church is a body. That we are a part of one another. And make no mistake about it. This body, the word church, literally means gathering. You're not the church by yourself. You're a church. When we as a people, when we come together, we are the church. I'm not saying we're not the church out there, but I'm just saying that's what that word actually means. It's a gathering of people. And yet there's so much false teaching today telling people you don't need to go to church. And you know what? I remember a day and a time when people went to church all the time and it seemed like we weren't doing enough to reach the lost. But I also remember that in that day and time when we went to church 3 or 4 times a week, that we were learning and we were growing in so many ways. Right. And now, a little dab will do you once or twice a month. That'll do it. I'm just telling you, there's so many deceptions that the devil uses to stop people's growth spiritually. Right. I don't know about you, but I grow more when I come to church. Yeah. That's why I made this joke before. It's not really a joke, but I try to act like it's funny. I need Wednesday night. I know some of you, you're more spiritual than me. You don't need, I need Wednesday night. Moving on. I know this, that Jesus died for every person in this room this morning, not just so you could go to heaven, but so that you could be close to God, so you could have a real relationship with God. And here's the amazing thing. He wants to be close to you. And here's the even more amazing thing. It's up to you. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. It's up to you. He'll draw near to you if you'll draw near to him. I'm just telling you, we ought to always be growing. Do we not want to be closer to him? Growing requires a state of change. If you're not changing, you're not growing. You can change without growing. In fact, you can change and go the wrong direction. But you can't grow without changing. Because here's a great revelation for you. If you're not changing, you're staying the same. That's not growing. And so we need to understand this morning that if we want to grow as a believer, there needs to be change in our life. Amen. Sometimes it's a big change, sometimes it's incremental, but there's got to be change in our life if we're going to continue to grow in the Lord. Right. I know some people, they want to see change. They want to change jobs, or they want to change churches or change places. They want to change the scenery. They want a new car, a new boat, a new spouse. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that God wants to change us personally. This kind of change happens from the inside. It's not just something on the outside. I'm not saying those things don't influence. They certainly do. But I'm saying that it has to be something on the inside that you want God to change you. You want to grow in the Lord. We have the final say in whether or not we change and grow in the Lord. A lot of time we want to change other things, but we ourselves have the final say. We can't do it without the Lord. But we have the final say on whether or not we change. One man said, I was a revolutionary. When I was young, my prayer to God was, Lord, give me the energy to change the world. He said, then when I approached middle age, he said, I just prayed, Lord, help me to have an impact, to change those that I come in contact with and my family and friends. He said, then when I was old, he said, now when I'm old, my prayer has become, Lord, help me to change me. And here's the point I want to make from this story, is that a lot of the time, you see, we look at our culture, we look at our nation, we look at the world, and we say, oh, how it needs to change, how it needs to change. We look at our city, or we look at the schools, or we look at even the church, and we say, oh, how it needs to change. How are you going to do that? You see, we need to be willing to be changed. You want to have a greater impact? You want to reach your family, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers? You want to have an impact on the city? You want to see our culture change? We need to change. We need to get to a place where God can use us in a greater measure. There is no witness like the life-changing power of God. And I got to tell you, yes, when we get born again, there's change. And yes, people should be able to see that. But some of us have been stuck in a rut so long, nobody's seen any change in our life in a long, long, long time. What if your spouse said, wow, I can see something's happened to you. What if your neighbors all of a sudden, or your co-workers all of a sudden thought, God must be real because I see how he's working in your life. We got to choose to change. Sometimes the thing that keeps us from changing and growing is that we get hung up on what God did before. I want to say we should never forget the great things the Lord has done. In fact, many times it's when we call to remembrance those things that they strengthen our faith in what we're, the battle that we're looking at now. But when we begin to become just focused on the past and we make a golden calf out of what God once did, we miss what God wants to do now. You see, we need to be moving forward in whatever God wants to do in our life. Not just always looking at the past and talking about what God did in my life 20 years ago. Well, thank God for it. But if you've got to go back 20 years to talk about God doing something in your life, you need to get growing. When we're not growing, a lot of the time we end up frustrated, unhappy. And we blame everybody else. We miss what God is trying to do in us. And sometimes God can use that frustration to get us to a place where we want to change. But too often, we just play the blame game. We blame other people for where we're at. I was talking to a worship leader of a church one day, and they told me that they were going to leave their church because they said, well, we're just not getting fed anymore. This person grew up in church as a spirit-filled believer, you know, their worship leader. And I'm just thinking, my goodness, by the time children are 2 to 3, they know how to feed themselves. And some pastor's got to spoon feed you? Oh, my goodness. What is going on in the body of Christ where people no longer know how to read the Bible? We need to be growing and learning. And yes, the pastor ought to teach you and challenge you. But I got to tell you, if you're not getting fed and you've been serving the Lord for a while, you got a personal problem. You need to get growing and feed yourself the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word of God. Peter says that you may grow thereby. I'm just telling you, it's amazing how we can blame others for why we're not growing. Here's another one that happens a lot of the times. People say, well, you know, I guess I'm not growing because people just aren't giving me I'm not having the opportunity to use my gifts. Well, you're looking at the wrong person, because that doesn't come from people. That comes from God. The Bible says a man's gifts makes room for himself, but it is God who promotes. It's God who opens the door that no man can close. And it's a sign of immaturity when you're blaming somebody else for where you are. It's time to grow up. In fact, one of the ways one of the things that keep people from being used of God is they need to grow up. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm pretty good at it. I know, you know, I may have just offended some of you because you've been looking for this opportunity. Let me just say something to you. How you handle what I just said says a whole lot about whether or not you're ready for opportunity. Thank you, brothers. Man, I need that encouragement. One pastor told the story about a man in his church named Denny. Denny was always unhappy. He was always grumpy. He went to church his whole entire life, but everything rubbed him the wrong way. And one of the many things that Denny didn't approve of was contemporary music in the church. He always complained about it being too loud, but nobody really knew just to what lengths Denny would go to until one day a man from OSHA showed up because somebody had filed a complaint about the decibel level in the church. And the staff just laughed, and the man from OSHA laughed with them. But it wasn't really a laughing matter, because when you look at this man, Denny, it's so sad that here he has been a Christian all his life, but he's so unhappy, he's so frustrated, he's always been out of shape, he doesn't know how to love his wife. His children don't want anything to do with him. It doesn't matter where he goes. Nobody really likes to be around the guy. He's never grown up because he refuses to change. Everybody else is the problem. Who's the common denominator? But the sad truth is that there are so many believers that in some way, on some level, they just stopped growing because they were unwilling to change. You know, the Bible says that we're to be content with such things as we have. And a lot of Christians need to hear that message. Amen. They need to be content with the material things you have. That's what the Scripture says. Well, I don't believe that. That's what I'm talking about. There's so much false teaching in the church today. This is what the Bible says. Be content with such things as you have. But when it comes to spiritual things, we should never be complacent. Never. See, Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Whatever the situation, he says, I've learned to be content. But in that same letter, he also writes, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This man has been serving the Lord now for decades, and he says, I want to know him. in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to know him. He knew him in a way that most people never will, and yet he's still saying, I want to know him. You see, we should never be complacent when it comes to the things of God. We should always have that desire of pressing forward to know him more. Always choosing to change so that we can move forward. Some people stop moving forward because they get focused on mountaintop experiences. I love the mountaintop. I love it when there is a special move of God, a special service, however that happens, and God just does a supernatural thing. I mean, there are times when you can just feel the presence of God. I love all that, all right? I want you to understand. I love being in the mountaintop experience. And hopefully you've all experienced some of that. I know our young people experience every time they go to youth camp. But you can't live from youth camp to youth camp. You can't just live from mountaintop to the next mountaintop. You know, we had this great experience and now I'm looking for the next one. Some people go from church to church or following a certain speaker around looking for the next mountaintop. And in between, they're living a mediocre, substandard, casual Christian life. It's like Ken said Wednesday night, it's everyday life. Every day that we are growing in the Lord. Every day we're seeking him. Every day that we're being used of the Lord. Growing in between the mountaintops. Not comfortable, but pressing on to know him because he's not finished with us. Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He didn't say until you're 35. He didn't say until you're 65. He didn't say until you think you're pretty spiritual. He said until the day of Jesus Christ. That's when he'll be finished working on you. But are we willing to let him change us and mold us and shape us? I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but I know this. He's not through. He still wants to do a work in you. He still wants to change you. And if you stop changing, you stop growing. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says to the lukewarm, he says this about them. He says, you say you have need of nothing. They think they have it all. They think they're just fine like they are. Oh, how we need more of him. How we need to grow in that relationship, that closeness with Jesus every day, keeping on. Keeping on. I know some of you this morning are willing to change. Some of you really want change. Some of you are desperate for change. And sometimes we feel like we just can't do it on our own. We've tried again and again. Maybe a certain area of our life we've just struggled with and struggled with. No, we can't change it on our own. But we're not doing this on our own. I had a pastor tell me one time, I was a youth pastor, worked under this pastor, and he told me, he said, Mark, people can't really change. They don't change. He said, it's just like a tree. You can stake it over and pull it over, but sooner or later when you cut it loose, it's just going to go right back to the way it was. Well, in the first place, that's a flawed illustration. He doesn't know what he's talking about because sometimes if you do it young, you can change the growth of a tree. But it's also a great example of how preachers will use a story or an illustration to make a point that doesn't even line up with Scripture. Because my Bible tells me that it might be impossible with men, but all things are possible with God. You know when Jesus said that? He said that when he was talking about how hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom. The disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm telling you, by yourself, it might be impossible for you to change certain things. But with God, it's not impossible. He'll help you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to change. That's His will. How about Simon Peter? Jesus says to him in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Oh, how he changed his life. But realize this, that Simon, he had to make that choice. He said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." We have to choose. We have to choose to change. He followed him, changed his whole life. His life was never the same. He even changed his vocation. He said, you're going to be a fisher of men. Jesus changes his name to Peter. Simon meant reed, like a reed blowing in the wind. Peter, the rock, was a sign of stability. Here was this impetuous, impulsive, immature man. Over and over you see it in the Gospels, but none more clear than on that last night when Jesus was betrayed and Peter is ready to die for Jesus. And then later that same night, he denies him three times. In and out, up and down, like a reed in the wind. But Jesus called him the rock. He called him to be Peter, the rock. Jesus wasn't done working on him. After Jesus had risen from the dead, can you imagine how it must have been for those disciples when they had seen the risen Lord? How exciting, how powerful that must have been to know that he is risen, that he is alive. You would think that they would be wanting to witness to everybody, tell everybody about the risen Lord, that they had seen him with their own eyes. But John chapter 21 tells us in verse 3 that Peter, he decides, "I'm going to go fishing." Now that, I just want to put you guys at ease, okay? That doesn't mean you can't go fishing when I'm saying to you this morning, okay? But you need to understand what that meant for Peter. This man who'd been called to be a fisher of men, what's he doing now? He's going back to the old thing. He's going back to who he used to be. He's not fishing for men. He's going back. He's going to fish again. You know what? He was a leader, though. In this case, not a good leader. The other disciples said, "We'll go with you. Let's all go fishing." And Jesus shows up. I'm just going to read to you from John 21, 14 through 18. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to him, "Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" You'll notice he's calling him Simon. Hey, Reed. Still blowing in the wind. "Do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." On the day of Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to preach, and he preached, and 3,000 were saved that day because of the message he preached. I'm telling you, that's a powerful message. He was beginning to feed the sheep. He was beginning to do what God wanted him to do, and throughout the book of Acts, you see God using him again and again and again, to the point where there were times when even the shadow of Peter would fall on people and their faith would cause them to be healed. "Feed my sheep," amen, Jesus said to him. He wasn't going to let him go back to being who he used to be, being that same old person. He had something more for him. And get this, Peter grew up. He matured into this man who writes to us in 2 Peter about how we need to beware and how we need to be steadfast in our faith and we need to be spotless and blameless. This man, Peter, he became a rock. Right. He grew up. And I want to challenge you today. God wants you to grow up and be who He's called you to be. Every single one of us, He wants us to grow up. I want to go back to the lukewarm church in Revelation 3. You don't need to turn there, but I just want you to hear this now. Jesus tells them, you say you have need of nothing. We need to see that we need to change. If we don't see that we need to grow, we never will. If we think that we're good just like we are, I'll tell you, we'll not get what God has for us. But then He says this to them. He says, here's the answer. Repent and be zealous. Repent and be zealous. Now, repent's a word that preachers don't use much anymore because it's just so religious sounding. But it means that you've been going this way. You need to change and go the other way. You need to do a turnaround. That's what it means to repent. It is not just a physical change, but it's a change of the attitude and the heart that you really want to change. And Jesus tells that lukewarm church, they're not on fire. Would you describe yourself as on fire for God? Or just kind of somewhere in the middle? Jesus says, repent. Make a change. It's time for change. I'm challenging you this morning to make some real change in your life so that you can get on growing in the Lord, becoming who He wants you to be. And then He said this. He says, and be zealous. Stir yourself up. You need to serve the Lord with a passion, with a fervor. There's no such thing as casual Christianity. What an affront, what a reproach to the cause of Christ that people live this just kind of whatever life. No, we're growing. We're going after God and His purpose in our life with all our heart. Some things will help you grow. Some things need to go. Some things will take you away from God. There are some activities, hobbies, involvements that are having a negative impact on your relationship with God and your spiritual life. You need to get rid of those things. Right. Some people may have a negative impact on your life. You need to quit hanging out with those people. Maybe when you get strong, maybe when you grow up some, you can go back and minister to them. I didn't say not to minister to them. I said quit hanging out with them. You know, just being one of the guys. Amen. If they're dragging you down spiritually, that's not God. That's right. It's when you go and you're dragging them up, that's God. Yes. But we need to get that right. And I'm just telling you, sometimes you got to change something in your life. See, maybe you need to quit fooling around and decide you're going to join a growth group. You need to change something. Amen. You're watching 3 hours of TV every day. Don't really have time to read the Bible. Don't understand it. It's boring. You know what? Change something. How about just watch TV 2 hours? And give an hour to the Word of God. Don't really have time for prayer, but man, I'm all over that social media. It's time to change something. Amen. It's time to change something where you can be in church as much as possible. You got to change some things if you want to grow. Being willing to serve? Well, they hadn't asked me to do anything that's worthy of me. Well, my Savior washed feet. And He said we should do likewise. You got to choose. Choose to spend time with the Lord. Choose to apply the Word of God in your life. I'm going to close with this. We all know the story of the prodigal son. That when he left home, he told his father, he said, give me the inheritance that's mine. But he said, give me. And that is so much the prayer of so many people. They just want God to give them. Just Just give me what I want. Give me a new job. Lord, give me a new car. Lord, give me a new spouse. Give me this. Give me. But when he came home, he had had a revelation. He didn't say, give me anything. When he went home, he just said, make me. Make me like one of your hired servants. Make me. And I'm telling you that when we grow up spiritually, we're not always just saying, give me. No, we're saying, make me. Make me who you want me to be. I encourage you, I challenge you this morning. Let that be part of your prayer, that you just open your heart, open the door. Let God do a fresh work in you this morning. Stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for prayer partners to come.